He said, if any man hears my voice, one man. It was talking to the old church. And so when you hear as you go along, if the Holy Spirit decides to speak concerning some situations, you could hear there is someone here. At the end of the day, that someone could be 100 people or more. Don't think we have made a mistake. That's the way God speaks. For example, there's someone here tonight who will never know sorry again. Where is that someone? All right. Okay. So you get that point. Second point might be a bit difficult for people like you to understand because you live in an advanced nation. But those of us who came from the villages and see fetch our waters from the village stream, when you go to the river to fetch your water, when it's your turn to dip in the bucket and bring out your water, if you hesitate, the river will not wait for you. It will flow on. So if tonight, as we continue, God should decide to mention your particular case, but at that time, your mind wanders away and you are thinking of the rice you left at home. And then you hear somebody sitting next to you saying, amen. And you say, oh, what did he say? By that time, it will be too late. So tell your neighbor, don't doze tonight. The third thing that you need to note very quickly is that in some nations of the world, and I believe Canada included, they have some restaurants where they say you can come in and eat all you can. And then they will spread the table with all manners of food, all manners of meat and fish and etc., etc. And everybody will come in, pay the same amount, and you are free to eat as much as you can. Now, some people will come to such a restaurant and take maybe a spoonful of rice, a little bit of salad, and one little chicken. I always wonder, why are these people here? Because when I go to such a restaurant, by the time I leave, they will know somebody had visited. And the way you are laughing means that there might be one or two people like me among you. Now I'm telling you that because tonight the Lord has spread a table before you. And on the table there is salvation, there is healing, there is deliverance, there is victory, there is joy, there are breakthroughs. So how much of it do you want? Okay, finally, before we can begin to flow together, when you go through the scriptures, you will discover that almost all the people that Jesus healed were healed according to their faith. He will ask, do you believe I can do this? And if they say yes, he will say, in that case, be it unto you according to your faith. Or he may say, your faith has made you whole. I can assure you that God is here tonight. Because he said, if where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there. We are more than two or three here. So he's here. The second reason I'm sure is that when he called me into full-time ministry way back in 1981, he made me one promise. He said, son, anywhere you go, I will go with you. So with all humility, I can say, I brought him with me. So right now, the headquarters of God is in Toronto. Okay. So God is here, is ready for you. The question is, when do you want your miracle? Next time I come. Are you sure? Okay, then shout another hallelujah. Okay, thank you, Lord. Judges chapter 15. I will read quickly from verse 11 to 15. Judges 15, from verse 11 to 15. We want to talk tonight about let the fire fall. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of Rock Etam and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And he said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords, and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flask that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. Maybe we should just go ahead and read till verse 18. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called the name, and called that place Ramath Lehi. And he was so attached, and called on the Lord, and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. Verse 19, if you don't mind, but God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En Hakkor, which is in Lehi, unto this day. What exactly do we mean when we say, let the fire fall? Actually, what we mean is, let God come down. You see, because when you read Exodus chapter 3, from verse 1 to 5, Exodus 3, 1 to 5, you will find there that when Moses was at the backside of the desert, the Almighty God came down as fire inside a bush. Moses saw a fire burning the bush, but the bush was not consumed because the fire that was burning then was not ordinary fire. It was God himself. And I'm sure you know that one of the names of God is the consuming fire. So when we say, let the fire fall, we are actually saying, let God come down. But that's not just all that we mean when we say let the fire fall. We are actually saying, let God intervene in our situations. Because if you read that same Exodus chapter 3, and you read it from verse 6 to 8, Exodus 3, 6 to 8, when God began to speak to Moses, he said, "The reason I've come down is because I have seen the sufferings of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrows. And I have come to change things. May I prophesy to someone tonight? This very day, God will intervene in your affairs. So when the fire of God falls, several things are bound to happen speedily. In other words, in the next 1 hour, as the Lord lives, your life can never remain the same again. Tonight, we've decided to choose Samson as a case study. In the story we read, there was a misunderstanding between Samson and the Philistines. And so the Philistines decided that they wanted to wage war against Israel because of what Samson had done to them. And then, men of Judah, the relatives of Samson, decided that, well, rather than all of us perishing, let's hand over Samson to the enemy. So they came to him where he was staying, and they said, "We have come to bind you and hand you over to the enemy." He said, "That's no problem. Just make sure you don't attempt to harm me yourself." They said, "I know. We have a rough idea who you are. But we will bind you fast and then hand you over to the enemy." There are many of us here who have been handed over to the enemy by our relatives. But we'll talk about that a little later. Because when the fire of God falls, there's one thing about fire. Fire does not discriminate. Fire does one thing, and it does it very well. And that is that it burns. Fire doesn't know somebody with 3 PhDs. It doesn't know the difference between someone who had never been to school. Anybody who touches fire, fire will burn. And so the fire of God is going to come down tonight. And certain things will follow. I will move very quickly tonight. But in the process, I will be calling on you to stand up and pray. Now, when I ask you to stand up and pray, I'm only talking to the young ones. I'm talking to the youth. If you're an old man or an old woman, you don't have to stand up to pray. You can sit down and do your praying. If in the process you fall asleep, that's no problem. Because the Bible says your old men and old women will dream dreams. And to dream dreams, you have to fall asleep first. So fall asleep, no problem. But the young ones, when I ask you to stand to pray, you must stand to pray. And you are going to pray in the next 1 hour like warriors. You're going to do it the way we do it in Africa, okay? When we finish, you can go back to being ladies and gentlemen. Is that all right? Good. And who are the young ones? Anyone younger than I is young. And since I'm 76, If your age is less than 76, when I say stand, you stand. Do I hear amen to that? If you are older than 76, you are old, so you can sit down. When fire falls, the first thing that happens is that yokes are destroyed. Because when the fire came on Samson, the first thing the fire went for were the ropes binding him. Now, what do you call yokes? Yokes are whatever keeps a man bound. Whatever renders a man helpless. Whatever keeps you at the mercy of the enemy. It's called a yoke. Whatever will not allow you to do everything your heart desires to do is a yoke. A yoke is like an invisible prison. I don't know if you have ever been to prison, not necessarily as a prisoner, but I go to prison frequently to minister there. And you find that in the prison, they have some elements of movements. They can move around. They have playing grounds. Some of them even watch color televisions. But they can't go where they want to go. In some places, by 4 p.m. at night, or in the afternoon, they must retire to bed. Whether they want to sleep or not, doesn't matter. They are in prison. Anything that limits your life, anything that keeps you going around in circles, is a yoke. Most of the times, these yokes are invisible. But tonight, when the fire of God falls, every yoke in your life will be consumed. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, Isaiah 10, 27, 6, anointing destroys yokes. The fire of God destroys yoke. It can destroy the yoke for an individual. Like in Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. Acts 12, verse 5 to 11. Peter was kept in prison. As long as he was in prison, he couldn't preach the gospel. As long as he was in prison, he couldn't do what his heart desires to do. But then the fire of God fell for him. God came down. God got involved. God intervened. And the chains binding him dropped off. The doors that shut him in opened on their own accord. And he was able to go out and continue to do what he wanted to do. Yokes can be destroyed for a family. In Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28, a woman came to Jesus Christ and said, "My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. If a single member of the family is in bondage, it affects the whole family." But then the Almighty God intervened in this situation. The girl was set free, and then the mother can have joy. There are parents today whose joy might not be full because of a troublesome boy, a troublesome son, or a troublesome girl. It could be because the son is not doing well in school, so the joy of the mother is not full. It could be that somebody in the family is into drugs. It could be a yoke. But when the fire falls tonight, every yoke in your family will also be destroyed. And of course, yokes will be destroyed for a nation. In Exodus chapter 12, you can read the whole chapter, Exodus 12, from 1 to the end. Israel had been in bondage for a long time. But then when the fire of God fell, when God stepped in, when God intervened, all of a sudden, the captors begged the captives to go. I have good news for somebody here today. It doesn't matter the yoke that is binding you, because the yoke will be sickness. It could be poverty. It could be lack of education. It could be lack of job. Whatever yoke that is binding you tonight, when the fire of God falls, you shall be free in Jesus' name. Some of you probably had a testimony, because a yoke will be a curse placed on the family. You probably had the testimony of a lady who was 33 years old and came to us and said she needed help. What's your problem? At the age of 33, she was still bedwetting. So I said, oh, this is a simple problem. We will pray and God will give you a brand new bladder and that will solve the problem. But she said, before you pray, sir, that her mother before her was a bedwetter. The grandmother was a bedwetter. And all the daughters in the family were bedwetting. Then I knew this problem is not just an incapable bladder. I told her if she will give her life to Jesus Christ, Jesus will take care. She gave her life to Jesus. We prayed a simple prayer. She returned the following day and said for the first time in 33 years, she woke up and the bed was dry. And she brought all the other sisters who were also bedwetters. They also gave their life to Jesus. And we prayed a simple prayer. And the yoke that was on the family, that had been in the family all these years, was broken in a single day. So I want you to stand on your feet now. You're going to pray the first prayer, loud and clear. I say, Father, let the fire fall for me tonight and destroy every yoke in my life and in my family. Please open your mouth and talk to the Almighty God. Let the fire fall for me tonight. And every yoke, those I know, those I don't know, in my life and in my family, let the fire consume tonight. Let your fire consume every yoke in my life, every yoke in my family. Let the fire consume tonight. Let the fire fall. Almighty God, let the fire fall tonight and destroy every yoke in my life and every yoke in my family. Please, Lord, let the fire fall. Destroy every yoke and set me free. And set my family free. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. The second thing that happens when the fire falls is that all of a sudden, power, mighty power, flowed into Samson. May I decree to someone tonight, in the name of the one who called me, that from today onward, you will not lack power. Now, power is ability to do work. Ability to do whatsoever your heart desires to do. Power is that which makes what you have been struggling to do easy to do. For example, if you ride a bicycle for 100 kilometers, by the time you arrived, you should be really, really tired. But if you ride a motorbike for 100 kilometers, you arrive as fresh as when you started. Why? Because there is power doing the work for you. The ability to succeed, ability to reach the top, ability to prosper in whatever you do is linked to something called power. And when fire falls, power comes. You see, just one illustration will be enough. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Acts 3, 1 to 8 tells us about a man who was born lame. They were always putting him by the beautiful gate. And this man, no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't walk. But one day, Peter touched him, and something happened to him. What was it? In Acts chapter 2, from verse 1 to 4, Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, fire had fallen on Peter. And Peter now went to this man and said, well, I don't have money, but I have power. And he said, what I have now, I'm giving unto you. And as he took that man by the hand, a little bit of the fire that was already on Peter moved into that man, and the Bible says his ankle bones received strength. And the man who had never walked before was not just walking now, he was leaping. He was jumping. This man who had always wanted to worship God, but he could only sit at the gate and watch people worshiping God, was able now to go in and break up the worship service, because he demonstrated to the people how this thing should be done. He was walking, he was sleeping, he was praising God. Now, I know there are quite a few of us here who would love to really serve God, but something is holding us back. Tonight, when the fire falls, things will change. I can give you just one other example. See, take for example Luke chapter 8 from verse 1 to 3. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. The Bible talked about a woman called Mary Magdalene. She had seven demons. That means she was thoroughly bound. But she had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And you remember the Bible says Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When she had that encounter with Jesus Christ, her yokes were destroyed. And she became a divine treasurer. There are some of you here today, given the right resources, you will gladly, single-handedly, build a church for God. Is anybody like that here at all? There are people here, I have no doubt about it, given the right resources, they would love to come to the pastor and say, how much does it cost to organize this program? Because I want to pay. I have good news for you. When the fire falls tonight, everything you need to serve God will be released unto you. Or you could take another example in Mark chapter 5. Take it from verse 2 to 20. Mark 5 from verse 2 to 20. It talks about another man who was thoroughly bound. This man had just a legion of demons binding him. When you talk about being bound, he was thoroughly bound. But he had an encounter with Jesus. The fire burnt away his yokes. And the man who woke up in the morning as a madman went to bed an evangelist. Tremendous transformation can take place in less than 24 hours. That's why I'm sure before the sun rises tomorrow, you'll be singing a new song. I was visiting a town in America. I wouldn't want to mention the name of the town since the whole world is listening to this message. And after I ministered in a congregation there, a woman came to me and said, "Sir, I want you to please pray for my husband. My husband has serious problem." So I said, "No problem. Why don't you bring him to church?" So I can, he said, "You don't understand. He had been so heavily in drugs that the doctor said that his brain had been fried, just like you fry an egg. That's the way his brain was at that time. And that this man couldn't even step out of the house. The situation was bad. So I said, "No problem, I will come and pray for him." She said, "Sir, if he sees you coming, a stranger, he will pull a gun on you. That you are particularly a black man," he said, "sir, just pray from here." I said, "I will go with you to the house. The risk is mine. Don't worry yourself." To cut a long story short, we went there. We prayed. The man, of course, was wild initially, but the Holy Spirit took control. And I told the man, "What you need is a brand new brain. The one inside had been fried. But I know the one who has spare parts. And may I decree tonight, every one of you in need of a spare part from God, you get it tonight." So God gave him a brand new brain, and the man that would normally have pulled a gun on me became a driver in our church. He was the one now driving the bus of the church. I believe that today the power to do what you want to do for God is going to be released unto you. Provided you will pray the second prayer with all your heart, if you please stand and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, "Father, let your fire fall for me tonight and turn me to a vessel unto honor." Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. "I want your fire to fall for me tonight, so that I can become a vessel unto honor in your hand, a vessel unto honor in your hand. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Let the fire fall, Lord, and give me the power. I want to be able to raise the dead. Lord God Almighty, I want to be able to win my city for you. Let your fire fall for me tonight and give me the power to become a vessel unto honor, a mighty vessel unto honor in your hand. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want to live a life of someone who is a vessel unto honor in the hand of the Almighty God. Let the fire fall for me tonight. Let the fire fall for me tonight, so that I can become a vessel unto honor in your hand. Let your fire fall for me tonight, Lord, and turn me to a vessel unto honor in your hand. Thank you, Father. Amen. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. You may please be seated. You are still praying like modern men and women. But there are some prayers you should pray, like I said, like warriors, okay? From now on, when it is time to pray, forget who you are. Forget who is on your right and your left. And really cry unto God. Because every prayer you pray tonight, God will answer by fire. The third thing that will happen when the fire falls, and this is very serious, as we see in the case of Samson, he saw the jawbone of an ass. As soon as he touched that jawbone of an ass, it became a weapon of mass destruction. What does that word mean? When the fire falls for you, everything you touch will begin to prosper. Everything. When the fire falls for a businessman, the business will begin to boom. When the fire falls for a student, he doesn't fail exams again. When the fire falls for a pastor, he will soon be having accommodation problem. When the fire falls for a barren woman, she will begin to be fruitful. It is not how hard you work that determines how successful you become. The Bible made it clear. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9:11 said, the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. He said, bread is not to the wise. He said, riches is not to men of understanding. He said, favor is not unto the men of skill. There's something else that must come in for your effort to produce results. In Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, Romans 9, 15 and 16, the Bible said, God said, I will be merciful unto whom I be merciful. I will have compassion unto whom I will have compassion. Then he added, he said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. There are some of you here, you work harder than your neighbors. But there's nothing to show for it. And as far as the world is concerned, the world is only interested in results. If you are not producing results, they think you are lazy. It doesn't matter how hard you work. You need an encounter with fire before whatever you touch will begin to prosper. Let me give you an illustration. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Luke 5, 1 to 7. The Bible tells us that Peter fished all night and caught nothing. Very hard-working fisherman. But in the morning, there was nothing to show for all his efforts. I have been a lecturer in the university. I have seen brilliant students fail. Not that they were lazy, not that they didn't study, but they get to the exam hall and blank out. Is there anybody here who knows what I'm talking about? It is not how hard. It is who is behind you, who is helping you along, that will determine. And tonight, in the name that's above every other name, when the fire falls, from this moment on, whatever you touch will begin to prosper. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, the Bible tells us the story of the widow of a son of prophet. The husband feared the Lord. The husband, if we are to use the modern language, was a Christian. He was a man of God, but he died poor and left a lot of debt for the wife and the two sons. But when the widow came in contact with the one who was a fire carrier, things changed. Within a day, the debt was paid. Within a day, she never had to borrow again. I decree in the name of the one who sent me, very soon you'll be debt free. And you better say amen to that. Now you may ask me, how will such things happen? Because I know some of you in this part of the world, everything is mortgaged. House, mortgage, car, mortgage. God have mercy. They say that we are poor in Africa at times. I'm not so sure we are that poor. Because in Nigeria, where I come from, when a man says, this is my house, he means everything here is my. I'm not owing the bank. Not that for the next 25 years I'm still paying. No, no, no. If he says this is my house, it means it's my house. But in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I say it again. When the fire falls for you tonight, you will soon be debt free. How can that be? Let me give you just one testimony, the most current one. You know, I have some partners, people who lift up my hands, who help me do this work. And we meet once a year. And when we met last year, I just decreed, just like I've done, to, you can't be my partners and be in debt. So I said, those of you who might be in debt, by the grace of God, God will pay your debt. Amen. And of course, they said, amen. At that time, we didn't know there was one of them who was practically drowning in debt. The following week or so, the creditors, the banks that he owed, called him. I said, young man, and he'll be about 50 years old. We just want you to tell us, how are you going to pay this debt? And he looked to them and said, I don't know. You have to tell us. He said, you yourself know. If I'm paying you ₦1 million every day, for all the days I have lived, I can't finish paying this debt. So a miracle happened. And they put their heads together and looked at him and said, in that case, we cancel your debt. Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, today, let your fire fall for me. and let me prosper miraculously. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. I want to succeed. I want to succeed in a manner that nobody will be able to explain. I want to succeed in everything I do. I want to, whatever I touch, I want it to prosper. I want to prosper in my family. I want to prosper in my work. I want to prosper in my ministry. I want to prosper when I go out. I want to prosper when I come in. I want to succeed. I'm tired of failure. Let your fire fall, Lord, so that whatever I touch, we begin to prosper. Let the fire fall for me, Lord, and let me keep succeeding. Let me keep succeeding miraculously, beyond human comprehension. Let the fire fall for me, and let everything change for the better. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. So the fourth thing, please be seated. The fourth thing that happens when the fire falls. Oh, thank you, Father. Now the Lord said, there's someone here today. He said, recently your health has been below average. He asked me to tell you, from tonight onward, you'll be vigorously healthy. Okay. Thank you, Father. I want to say amen to this revival, tell you. Because the Lord said, there's someone here tonight, he said, I will give you comprehensive rest. Yeah. Body, soul, and spirit. Okay. I think God has a special love for you in Canada. Because the Lord says, there's someone here tonight, he said, mark my word, you will end up a divine treasurer. Now, the fourth thing that happened was that Samson slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Meaning what? When the fire falls for you, the enemies of your destiny will be dealt with. As far as the Philistines were concerned, the end of Samson had come. Until the fire fell. And yet there was a purpose for which God sent Samson to the world. And that purpose was not yet fulfilled. There are many of us who are quite aware we were not told by any prophets. We knew it deep within us. We were not born to be ordinary. We knew it. Something deep down says, I'm born to be great. And then we look at our lives. And when, if we look at the present situation, we don't seem to be going in any direction close to what is deep within us. And something inside is crying out, where is my destiny? When the fire falls, the enemies of your destiny will be dealt with. Now, how God will do it, you better leave that to him. Because when it comes to dealing with the enemies of the destinies of his children, God has various methods. One, he could kill those enemies. I'm sure some of you won't mind. Even if you mind, doesn't stop God. He will do what he has to do. In Acts chapter 12, for example, verse 20 to 24, Acts 12, verse 20 to 24, there was this king called Herod. He had killed one apostle, and he was going to kill Peter before the fire fell for Peter, and Peter was rescued. And when God found that this man was taking pleasure in slowing down the work of God, he killed him. Maybe he woke up one morning, sat on his throne, and was making a speech to some of his subjects. And those people began to hail him. Ah, this is not the voice of a man. This is the voice of God. God said, okay, I think I've tolerated you long enough. And God just had some worms to finish him. So he could kill anyone who wants to stand between you and where God is taking you. Another example you'll find in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We can read it from verse 1 to 51. 1 Samuel 17 from 1 to 51. The devil noted that David had been anointed king. He discovered this young boy is meant for the throne. And so he made an arrangement. Let's kill this boy before he could get to the throne. He sent a lion. David tore the lion, punched the lion to death. He sent a bear. He killed the bear. And he said, all right, if this boy is this strong, we will give him somebody that he can't get close to before the fellow will finish him off. So he arranged for the father of David to send him to the battlefront at the time when Goliath will appear. He knows the boy will be bold enough to say, I will go and fight. The devil was already laughing, thinking, I got him this time. You see, if you listen to what Goliath said, you will know what I'm talking about. Goliath said, send a man to fight me. If he defeats me, the kingdom of the Philistines will be transferred to the children of Israel. If I defeat him, the kingdom of Israel will come over to the Philistines. It was a battle for the destiny of David. The devil didn't want David to get to the throne. But you know the end result. At the end of the day, the head of Goliath was hanging in the hand of David. May I prophesy to some? If there is anyone or any force that says you will not reach your goal, my father will move him out of the way. Or the one, the enemies of your destiny can be compelled to relocate. Because there were more than 1,000 Philistines that came to attack Samson. He killed 1,000, the others fled. And God will cause your enemies to relocate. Because the Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 1 to 3, Psalm 68, verse 1 to 3, it said, let God arise, and his enemy will what? Scatter. That might be a better option for some of you who are tender-hearted. Or he can just paralyze
the enemy of your destiny, you can paralyze them with fear. Because when you read Psalm 23 verse 5, he said, thou preparest a table before me, where? In the presence of my enemies. The enemy became paralyzed. So you can enjoy. Some people have asked me, why don't you pray that God will just wipe out all your enemies? And I've always told them, if they are all gone, who will see me in my day of glory? At least let some of them remain, so that they fight as much as they can. But by the grace of God, I keep on rising. So let them fight, and let me keep on enjoying. Or God can even do something better. He can cause those who were assigned to truncate your destiny, he can turn them to servants. They can become your servants. You don't believe me? Read Acts of the Apostles chapter 16. And you can read it from verse 16 to 34. Acts 16 from verse 16 to 24 or to 34. And we will tell you about what happened. You know, Paul and Silas, they have cast out a demon, and the people were angry with them. They threw them to prison. They were going to finish them off, and they told the jailer, keep them safe because we'll deal with them tomorrow. You know the rest of the story. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the Bible says the prisoner heard them. It tells you they were not praying silently. They were not praising God quietly. They prayed like we do back home. They praised God loud and clear. I know those of you who are civilized will tell me that God is not deaf. You don't have to shout before he will hear you. Well, we always say also he's not nervous. So if you shout, he doesn't mind at all. Let me hear somebody shout hallelujah. And believe me honestly, if you don't like noise, don't go to heaven. Because heaven is a very noisy place. Over there, when they shout hallelujah, the Bible says it sounds like thunder. Let me hear another hallelujah. God can turn the enemy of your destiny to your servant. I'm going to tell you a story. Some of you have heard this story before. Something happened the day my wife and I got married, which means it happened more than 50 years ago. glory be to God. We got to the place where we were going to marry, and there was a lady there fully dressed. She too had come with her friends to marry. But the groom didn't show up. And you could imagine the embarrassment. The poor girl nearly went mad. But after some time, well, she decided to go on with life and married a young soldier. And the boy who jilted her also joined the army. And then just by the working of the Almighty, there was a military coup in Nigeria, and the man who married this lady was appointed a military governor. And the boy who jilted her was made the aide-de-camp of the governor. So that whenever this girl had to enter the car, the former boyfriend had to open the door. Stand on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, Let your fire fall for me today and deal with the enemies of my destiny. Just deal with them whichever way you want. Deal with the enemies of my destiny whichever way you want. Use any method. Any method. Deal with the enemies of my destiny. Deal with the enemies of my destiny. Please, Lord, do it. All those who want to stand between me and your purpose for my life, deal with them your own way, your own way, your own way. All I'm saying is I want to reach my goal. So those who are blocking the way, deal with them your own way, your own way. I leave that to you, Lord. The method you use, I leave to you. Take care of the enemies of my destiny, please, Lord. Take care of the enemies of my destiny. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. One of the beauties of the story of Samson is the fact that it is his relatives that handed him over to the external enemies. And when instead of Samson being dead, he vanquished the external enemies, the internal enemies were disappointed. They were frustrated. Meaning what? When the fire falls for you, even enemies within will be frustrated. Now the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36, Matthew 10, verse 36, Jesus Christ himself said it. He said, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Some of us are where we are today because of the enemy within. Some of us are where we are today because of friends who are very close, who are nothing but wolves in sheep clothing. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of us would have gone far. But for the people who are very, very close, who knew our plans, and were cooperating with forces of darkness to frustrate those plans. People who are saying, where is he going? We will slow him down. And it's in every facet of life. You'll be amazed that you will even find such people in the house of God. People who will see your ministry is prospering, and they will say, let's put some stumbling blocks across his path. Internal enemies. A very classical example will be Joseph, for example. You know the story of Joseph. I don't need to begin to tell you in details. He had these beautiful dreams. God showed him what is coming. He allowed this little boy to know you are not born to be small. You are born to be great. And believe me honestly, mark my word, I know there is at least someone here today. Nobody knows you yet, but you will not die unknown. You know how hard the brothers of Joseph tried to make sure his dreams won't come to pass. They saw him coming. Behold, the dreamer cometh. Let's kill him. And let's see what will become of his dreams. It was his dream that they were after. They threw him into a pit. Thank God the pit was dry. They sold him into slavery. They didn't know they were pushing him towards his destiny. Some of you who are here from various countries of the world, you didn't plan to be in Canada. Circumstances pushed through here. But as the Lord lives, even in this land, you will reach your goal. The Lord said, I should tell someone today, he said, every curse in your family, I will replace with a blessing. Oh, thank you, Daddy. You see, because Daddy asked me to tell someone here tonight, he said, your own song of victory will start tonight. Even if we go home now, we are already blessed. But you know that at the end of the day, the brothers of Joseph came and bowed down. You see, when God has decided something, when he opens a door, nobody can shut it. The journey may be a little longer, but delay doesn't mean denial, particularly if the fire falls for you. But let us leave household enemies aside, because they are the most difficult of all enemies to deal with. How do you pray that somebody you grew up with, someone you had loved, someone you thought would want it to be well with you, how do you deal with the fellow when you discover he's the one that is trying to kill you? But like I said, God knows how to handle that. But when we talk about internal enemies can come in another form. It could be lack of faith. That's an internal enemy. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Mark 11, 23, the Bible says if you are going to move mountains, you must have faith. It could be doubt. It could be unbelief. It could be despair. You could kill yourself out of despair. If you watch the news, you see some big people committing suicide. Why? Because there's an emptiness in them that is not filled. Thank God you have Jesus. And if you don't have him, I pray you have him before we go. Because when Christ comes into you, there's only one thing to hope for, and that's glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But some people have been so battered by situations that they will say, maybe we better finish it off. But the tide will turn for you today. In the name that's above every other name, when the fire falls, the eternal enemy will be disappointed. You probably heard the story of a sister. I've told you before, some of you. She's been waiting on God to have a future partner for years. Nothing happened. Until she stopped to be with her after the manner of women. And then we had a gathering like this. And like I would normally do, at the end of it all, I said everybody should ask God for something special, something only God can do. And she said, well, God, I've prayed all these years that I want to be married. Nobody showed up. I'm not going to bother you about that anymore. Anything you want to do, anything you feel like doing, do it. I will serve you anyway. The Almighty God said, all right. If you think I'm late, I assure you that I'm still the Almighty. A couple of days later, a brother came and said, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be my wife. She looked at him and said, you better go and pray again. And the man said, God told me, she turned to him and said, don't you want children? Because I can't bear children anymore. I've already passed that age. And the man said, glory be to God. You are the one. You are the one because I already have children. I just lost my wife. And I need someone who will help me look after these children. So I'm not looking for more children. So you must be the one. To cut a long story short, they got married. The very first man they got married, she became pregnant. And gave birth to a set of twins. God disappointed her doubt. Stand on your feet. Give your voice to the Almighty God. And say, Father, let your fire fall for me. Every doubt, every unbelief, every despair, let the fire consume. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. It's a very important prayer. Every doubt, every unbelief, every despair, let your fire consume tonight. Let your fire consume tonight. Oh, yes, Lord, I know. I have waited. I have prayed. I have not seen results. I'm now beginning to doubt. Please, Lord, let your fire fall. Let it consume every doubt. Oh, by now I'm already despairing. Let your fire fall. Let it consume despair. Every eternal enemy, Lord God Almighty, please let your fire fall. Let your fire consume them all. Let your fire consume them all. Let the fire consume them all. Let the fire consume them all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let your fire fall, Lord. Every doubt, every form of unbelief, every form of despair hindering me, Lord God Almighty, let your fire consume. Let your fire consume. Let your fire consume. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. You're doing fine. We'll soon be there. And then the sixth thing that happens when the fire falls is the song that Samson sang. You say, where's the song? said, heap upon heap, heap upon heap, with the jawbone of an ass, I've slain 1,000. He sang a new song. He didn't compose the song beforehand. The song came spontaneously. When the fire falls for you, your song will change. In Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3, Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. Help me, Lord. It does say there's someone here tonight that very soon you'll be singing. Now listen. Listen to the song. I am going higher, yes I am. I am going higher each day. Amen. I know you are ready to sing it. Believe me honestly, it's the word of God for someone here. Very soon you will sing, I am going higher. Please be seated. David said in Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3, he said, I cry unto the Lord. He heard my cry. He inclined unto me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. And he put a new song in my heart. In Exodus 14, verse 1, to 14. Exodus 14, verse 1 to 14. When the children of Israel looked back at the Red Sea and they saw the army of Pharaoh pursuing them, they sang a song. Moses, we're about to die. Moses, you should have left off in Egypt. Moses. By the following morning, in Exodus 15, they sang a new song. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee? Among the gods, who is like unto thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing. And the Lord lives. By the time the sun rises tomorrow, you will sing a new song. In John chapter 9, you can read the story all the way from verse 1 to 25. John 9, 1 to 25. It tells us the story of a man who was born blind. And he had an encounter with the fire, with Jesus Christ, the baptizer with fire. And his eyes was restored. And then some people began to argue, we don't believe in miracles. Jesus is a sinner. I can't. The man said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, but now I see. That's a new song. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, Mark 1, 40 to 45, the Bible tells us about a man who was a leper, came to Jesus, worshipped him, and said, I know you can make me clean if you are willing. Jesus said, I'm willing. He touched him, and he was cleansed. And then Jesus said to him, keep your mouth shut, don't tell anyone. He laughed. How can I keep quiet? So everywhere he went, he said, I was a leper, now I am clean. There's somebody here today, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you will soon sing. You will soon say, I was sick, now I am well. I was bound, now I am free. I was weak, now I am strong. Ah, glory be to God. I told you the story before. I went to minister for a man of God, and I spoke about my Father, the Almighty, how he can do anything. When I finished, the pastor said I should wait in his office while he was attending to some people, and he put somebody at the door so that I would not be disturbed. But as I was settling down, I had a conversation going on between a lady and the man at the door. The man said, I want to see the pastor. The man at the door said, you can't see him. He said, I must see him. He said, what do you want to see him about? That lady said, that's none of your business. To cut a long story short, she forced her way in. And so I said, yes, he said, I want to tell you what I want to tell you because, number one, I've never had anyone talk about God the way you've just done. I said, okay. He said, number two, I know you don't live here, but tomorrow you'll be gone. By then, I was a bit apprehensive. What's going on? And she was dressed like with this hijab or whatever they call it, face covered. And then she removed the cover, and I discovered she was a leper. So I shrank back. I said, what's the problem? Why didn't you go to the hospital? She said, I have two sons. If I go to the hospital, they will send me to the leper colony. Who will take care of my children? Why didn't you tell the brethren here to pray? She said, I told you now. If they pray for me and nothing happens, when they see me next Sunday, they will say, here comes the leper. But next Sunday, you are not going to be here. You will be gone. So I prayed for her. I didn't touch her. Forgive me. Anointing or no anointing, I was careful. God have mercy on pastors. Some months later, I was back in the same church. As I was coming out of the car, there was this very beautiful lady coming towards me, smiling broadly. And she said, do you remember me? I said, no, ma. He said, I was the leper. But your God touched me. Stand on your feet. Lift up to the Almighty God. And say, Father, let your fire fall for me and put a new song in my mouth. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Father, let your fire fall for me. Let your fire fall for me and put a new song in my mouth. 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 A song of victory. Victory over sickness. Victory over disease. Victory over weakness. Victory over pain. Victory over failure. Victory over defeat. Lord, put a new song in my mouth. Put a new song in my mouth. Put a new song in my mouth. Please, Lord, put a new song in my mouth. Put a new song in my mouth. Thank you, my Father. Glory be to God. Put a new song in my mouth. Put a new song in my mouth, Lord. Let me be able to sing. I was sick, now I'm whole. I was bound, now I'm free. was a failure, but now by God's grace, I am a success. Let me be able to sing, I was down, but by the grace of God, I'm now on the mountain top. Let me be able to sing, I'm going higher every day. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Finally, the seventh thing that happens. There are more than seven. We are stopping at seven. Is that as soon as Samson finished killing all those people and the others fled, he threw away the jawbone of an ass. And that's a mistake. I don't want to talk about that much tonight. But please, it is prayer that is going to get you the testimonies that we follow tonight. When all begins to go well, don't stop praying. Don't throw away the jawbone, because we are going to need it again. He became thirsty. And thirst can kill. He himself says, so he said, God, you've given me this great victory. Now thirst is about to kill me. Thirst is about to take away the victory. And then the Lord said, well, the job again. And God created a spring of water in the jawbone of an ass. He drank, and he was satisfied. The seventh thing that happens when the fire falls for you is that your greatest desire will be satisfied. In Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And then he leads me beside still waters. God knows you need to drink for your satisfaction to be complete. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Matthew 5, verse 6. Thank you, Father. Because somebody here will understand this. The sky over your head is dark. Everything looks very gloomy. But the Lord asked me to tell you, dark clouds foretell heavy rain. He said, your showers of blessing shall be mighty. When the fire falls, your greatest desire will be granted. Now, different people have different tasks. In the case of Hannah, she wanted a son desperately. That's what she wanted. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You can read it from verse 1 to 20. 1 Samuel 1 from verse 1 to 20. There were two women in the house. One had children. Hannah had none. And the one who had children was tormenting her with the fact that she was barren. So when it was time to pray, she was praying so violently that only her lips were moving. And God came down. God got involved. And a great prophet was born. Solomon was not thirsting for money. He had money. He wasn't thirsting for freedom. He was a king. He wasn't bound. He wasn't even thirsting for promotion. I mean, when you are a king, what else can you become? but he was thirsty for wisdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, from verse 6 to 12. 2 Chronicles 1, 6 to 12. So when he offered a 1,000 burnt offering to God, and God said, what do you want? You see, when God gives you an opportunity like tonight, because very soon, before we close, I'm going to ask you to talk to God and ask for one thing. Be careful what you ask for, because you will get it. Your greatest desire is what will come out first. Solomon, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom. And he got it and got some extra things. David, what do you want? Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. David said, only one thing will I desire of the Lord. Only one thing will I seek after. I just want to dwell in his house, to behold the beauty of his holiness. Clever David. He knew if I can just get that thing, then surely goodness and mercy will follow me. If I can just get the substance, the shadow will follow. Paul, what do you want? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, from verse 7 to 11, Philippians 3, 7 to 11, Paul said, you can take everything I have. I just want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. That's all I want. I don't want clothes. I don't want houses. I don't want cars. I don't want anything. I want to know him. And he knew him. He knew the power. The Bible later on said that God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul. Of course, there are those people like Esau. What do you want? He said, give me food, man. Who cares about being firstborn? Just give me food. Gehazi, what do you want? He said, money. Who cares about anointing? I tell you just one more story because we're about to close. I was already, as you know very well, I think you call lecturers, every lecturer in this part of the world is called a professor. So I was a professor of mathematics. God have mercy. Before the Lord called me, so I had to leave my career. I was already head of department of mathematics. I knew where I was going. And I had to cancel all that because he called me to head this little church organization. We were very little. He put all of us together. We had half a row. God, I've left everything. Let the church grow. The church refused to grow. I did everything I knew. I fasted. I prayed. I conducted crusades. I've conducted special programs. Every month, when I say I'm having a special program, the people will come. As soon as the program is over, they disappear. Then I heard of a man called Yonggi Cho in South Korea. He said, this church is growing, it's big. I was poor, but one way or the other, I got to Korea. And I got to Korea, and I attended this church. The church was big, 50,000 people can come in. And it was holding 7 services on Sunday. Time in my life, I had a pastor say to the congregation, those of you who come this Sunday, please don't come next Sunday. So that those who are outside, those who could not come this Sunday, can come next Sunday. Ah, God, have mercy on me. So when they now say that he has a prayer mountain, that we should go to the prayer mountain to pray. Ah, if it is this way he prayed, I'm going to pray. I cried to God. I forgot myself. Because I came all the way from Nigeria for something. So all the other buses left except my own. Because the others came, they looked at the prayer mountain. Some of them prayed for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and they took pictures. Lord have mercy. The only reason my boss didn't leave was because I was the only black man there. So it was easy to know somebody's face. By the time I came back into the bus, they were very angry with me. What's wrong with you? I thought we came here to pray. They said, are you going to pray everything in one day? On our way back to town, nobody spoke to me and I was happy. Because my spirit was still praying. And God heard. And he answered. Oh yes, he heard. And he will hear somebody tonight. Some years ago now, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was in South Korea. And this time I said, I want to see the old man. And somebody helped me book an appointment. When I came the first, I was just going to tell him, sir, this is where I came to catch the fire. But by the time I got in there, he said, I have heard of you. Will you please pray for me? Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God. I said, Father, let the fire fall for me tonight and fulfill all my desires. Please open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Let the fire fall for me. Fulfill all my desires, O Lord. Fulfill all my desires. Let my greatest task be satisfied. Let my greatest task be satisfied. Let my greatest desire be met. Satisfy my greatest thirst, O Lord. Satisfy my thirst, O Lord. Please, Lord, satisfy my thirst. Satisfy. Almighty God, please satisfy my thirst. Thank you, my Father, my God, satisfy my thirst. satisfy my task. Thank you, Daddy. Satisfy my task. Oh, please, Lord, satisfy my task. Thank you, Father. Satisfy my task. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. In conclusion, there's one thing about fire that you need to know. Contact with an object, whatever is good in that object, it turns it into itself. If you put wood in the fire, the good part of the wood will become fire. Anything that is not good in the wood will become ashes. Before you ask fire to fall, you need to know it depends on what side of God you are. In 2 Kings chapter 1, from verse 9 to 12, 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 to 12, Elijah sat on the hill. 50 soldiers and a captain to go and arrest him. They came. He said, "Man of God, come down. The king wants you." He said, "Me?" They said, "Yes." "And you know I'm a man of God?" They said, "Yes, we know." He said, "I command fire to fall." When the fire fell on those enemies of the man of God, they became ashes. The king sent another 50 soldiers and another captain. The fire fell the second time, they became ashes. It depends on what side of God you are when the fire falls. When they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, the people who threw them in died. Their yokes were destroyed and they came out of the fire alive. It depends on what side of God you are. Every coin has two sides, head and tail. God is like that. One side of God is love. God is love. The other side is consuming fire. So those who tell you that God is love, 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 and love alone, are trying to turn God to Father Christmas. It's more than that. If you are on the good side of God, it's love. We embrace you. His fire will defend you. If you're on the wrong side of God, the fire will consume you. That is why you must surrender your life to Jesus Christ urgently. Because when the fire falls, and you know this before I came to God since this evening, let the fire fall, let the fire fall. God is not deaf. He heard us. And the fire If it hasn't fallen, it's only withholding it because of some of you who are yet to be born again. So that you won't come here and be destroyed. He's waiting for you to surrender your life to him so that the fire can fall and benefit all of us. I appeal to you, if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to count from 1 to 10. Before I say 10, I want you to come and stand before me here. It's not a question of you say, I want to give my life to him quietly. No. He said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. If you really mean business, you come out boldly. I say, I want to surrender my life to him. We will pray together and he will save your soul. But the choice is yours. Because the fire is going to fall. You can withhold it now. I can assure you the fire will fall tonight. So if you are not sure of your salvation, before I say 10, come and stand before me. And I'm counting now. 1. You might be the only one. Don't wait for your friends. The choice is yours. It's between you and your God. And don't play with fire. 2. God is calling you now. He wants to save your soul. He wants to forgive all your sins. He wants to give you a brand new beginning. Come to him now. 3. Thank you, those of you who are clapping. Your hands will never be empty. 4. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. The Lord is waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He wants to save your soul. 6. Hurry up. Hurry up, hurry up. Tell the devil to leave you alone. I want to go to my maker. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Come quickly. Don't wait for your friend. Come on your own. It is between you and your God. Salvation is for you. Come today now. 7. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, keep clapping, they are still coming, keep clapping, they are still coming, hurry up, hurry up. 8. Tell the devil to leave you alone, I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ, I don't want to live in sin anymore. To have a brand new beginning. If you are in Christ, everything will become new. All things will be gone. Come now, this is your day. Come and give your life to him. Let him save your soul. Let him give you a new beginning so that the fire can fall for you and everything can become new. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Yes, I can see you there. God bless you. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come now. Yes. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. I wait 10 seconds more. 10 seconds more for you. Hurry up. Because I'm about to pray for salvation now. God bless you. Keep clapping. They are still coming. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. This is your day of salvation. Come, 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 quickly. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 9 now, that's the final call. If you want to come, hurry up. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. Any other person? Yes, I can see one or two people running. Hurry up. Hurry up. I wait 5 seconds more for you. You are not late yet. Keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Decide now. This is a day of decision. Come. Come quickly. Come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In case you are still coming, just keep coming. Make sure you get there before I finish praying. Those of us who are ready in front, please talk to the Almighty God. In your own language, just tell him to have mercy on you. Ask him to save your soul. Ask him to forgive your sins. Tell him to become your Lord and your Savior. Promise him that from now on you will serve him and you will do his will. And the rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards this people and intercede for them. And pray that the one who saved our souls will save their own souls also. Pray that the Almighty God will forgive all their sins and he will receive them into the family of God. Please pray for them. Intercede for them. For just 2 minutes, pray that their salvation will be genuine. Pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. Any other fellow coming? Hurry up. You are not too late yet. I've not said 10 yet. So get here before I pray. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Don't miss this opportunity. Tomorrow might be too late. Come. Come now while you may. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. My Father, my God, I want to thank you for your word. And I want to thank you for these people that have come forward to surrender their lives to you. Father, please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They have come to you now, Father. Please receive them. Amen. Forgive them. Let your blood wash away their sins. Save their souls today. Write their names in the book of life. And Father, I pray that they will never backslide. That from now on, any time they call on you, you answer them by fire. And let them serve you till the end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Thank you. Those of you in front, I want to rejoice with you. Because I'm promising you, as a man of God, from now on, I'll be praying for you. And very soon, you'll be receiving some miracles you have not even asked for. Then you will know somebody must be somewhere praying for you. And that somebody will be me. So I'm going to read your names, your address, and your prayer request. So if you turn to your left, you see somebody there holding a banner with counseling written on it. Please go in that direction. There are pastors waiting. They will collect your names, your address, and your prayer request. Give me a copy, and I promise you I'll be praying. I'll be praying for you. Let's clap. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much. Now, while we wait for our new brothers and sisters to come, I want you to talk to God on your own now. You know that area where you need the fire to fall urgently. Just for about 2-3 minutes, talk to God about it. Is it something physical? Is it something in the family? Is it something in your place of work? Is it something in your church? You know the area where the fire must fall tonight. So just talk to God for a couple of minutes. I wait for our new brothers and sisters.
Let us bring our prayer to a close. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause for his faithfulness. We can do better than that for his goodness. Come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause for all the souls that were saved, for his fire that has fallen on us. Lord, we give you praise. I want to call out the following testifiers: Brother Wale Akimbami, Sister Felicia Adegbenjo, Sister Olayinka Akin Losotu, and Pastor Deborah Oyediran, to come and give their testimony. Can you walk to the stage through my right-hand side?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I just want to thank the Almighty God because he has done so, so much for me. And since 2009, our daddy came and he put the word forward that as a widow that is ready to give her last meal. And I took that word. And the call came to start, you know, another parish. And since then, you know, I just thought it's something you would just pray. And it took so long a time before, you know, and sometimes I tell the Lord, please, can't you just do it 10 people? And, you know, the Lord God Almighty helped me through the praying. I mean, you know, after that, the Almighty God, sorry, sir, the Lord God Almighty, last year, August, said to me, stop praying, keep thanking me. And since then, up to now, the Lord has been bringing people, families by families. And the Lord has done so much that we have good problems now. We don't have a place to put the people, but God says he will provide. And I thank the Almighty God for the best day of my life is today. Amen.
Let's appreciate God that has done that for us.
Okay. Somebody shout hallelujah. My name is Felicia Adebenjo. I want to thank God for what God did in my life in 2016. I had a stroke. And I give God the glory that God brought me back. That everything was lost, but I give God the glory. When that thing happened, Pastor, I didn't want to go to the hospital, but Pastor Tam told us to go back, and Pastor Grace also. And I give God the glory for daddy and mommy. They are praying for us. And every time message is coming through the message, and I give God the glory that God did everything perfectly. I give God the glory.
We cannot deny the proof. Let's appreciate God. She's running after a stroke. Come on, let's appreciate God.
My name is Wale Akimbami. I want to thank God for the healing God has granted me. Last year, I was diagnosed of prostate cancer. I went to the hospital and I did surgery. So after the surgery, I went back for further tests. But I thank God that they could not see it in my body.
Oh, we need to do more than that. Let's appreciate God. Let's appreciate God. Before we go to the final testimony, which is the mother of all testimonies tonight, because I saw the person on our hospital bed. But before we go there, I want to read out a testimony. This person wants to be anonymous. The person wrote that sometimes in April of 2017, the person completed a task for Daddy Gio. On completing the task, he received a direct guidance to send a bill for the tax performed, and he sent the bill with no amount through a senior pastor to Daddy Gio, asking him to just lay his hand on the bill, and he received it back and put it in a secure place at home. And after his financial breakthrough, within 2 months he received his blessings. He was given a double promotion, and this even led to him heading a very important two department for all the South and North America operation of a multinational company. And some of the pronouncement of Daddy Gio also rubbed on his children, especially his daughters. The other one applied to four best universities in Canada, and she was offered admission to all with tens of thousands of scholarships. The younger one was selected as mathematics Olympian for the province of Ontario. Come on, let's appreciate God. Let's appreciate God. So I'm going to call on Pastor Deborah Oyediran to give her testimony.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! To God be the glory, I'm alive today. I fell down at work, and what happened next, it led to brain aneurysm. The surgery, but eventually I fell into coma for some days. But to God be the glory, just like our daddy have said, he was there. All my pastors from my zone and all the brethren, through their prayers, I came back to life. I give God all the glory. The Lord did it. It is not by my own power. Praise the Lord. After 5 good weeks, I got delivered from discharged from the hospital. I came back alive. I did not help, end up in rehab. I did not have stroke. God be glorified. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Father. If somebody had stroke and can still run after that, if somebody had cancer and is still alive today, when somebody's in a coma, the Bible term for a coma is the sleep of death, the sleep that leads to death. And she's here now testifying. I think you should know how to shout hallelujah to God. We're going to combine two things. We want to say thank you to God for what he had already done. And I can assure you, this is a night you will not forget. Yeah. And at the same time, we are going to ask God for something very special. Ask for only one thing. So think very well. Make sure you don't ask for cookies. Ask for something big. Something only God can do. And then I will bless your thanksgiving offering. I will pray in prayer and we'll be on our way. So if you need an envelope to put your thanksgiving offering in, you wave your hand. And one thing is very, very important when you are giving your thanksgiving offering, it's not how much you give. What you give is important, but not how much. It's how carefully you give it. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And we need an envelope here too. Thank you, Father. If you need an envelope, just wave your hand. They will give you one. As soon as we are ready, you just leave the envelope to God and accompany it with your prayer. Ask for something very, very special, something that only God can do something that can turn your life around completely. Pray the prayer now. And I will pray for you in a moment. You know what is the greatest desire of your heart? Something, if only God can do this for me, I will praise Him for the rest of my life. That's what we do. Don't ask for something small. Ask for something really big. Because He is the Almighty God. Thank you, Father. Let's bring our prayers to a close. And keep your hands lifted high, because I'm praying for you now. My Father, my God, I want to bless you. I just want to thank you for what you've done tonight. Thank you for speaking to our future. Thank you for the marvelous testimonies that shows that you are still the miracle-working God. You can still make the lame to walk. You can still bring somebody out of the jaws of death. You can still reverse the irreversible. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you that you are the builder of your church. That when you make up your mind to build, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, commit all these children to your hands. Everything they are asking for now, Father, even as the sun is rising tomorrow, let it become a testimony. No matter how hard their request, my Father, my God, turn it to a testimony. And even the thanksgiving offering they are bringing to you, Lord God Almighty, return it back to them 1,000-fold. And in a way these people cannot understand, my Father and my God, help them to become debt-free. And everything they need to serve you adequately, my Father and my God, whether it is something physical, something spiritual, something financial, Father, make available unto them. And I decree in the name that's above every other name, every one of you, particularly those of you who are here tonight, it shall be well with you. Everywhere you go, God will go with you. Every door you knock at will be opened unto you. The Almighty God will defend you. He will fight your battles for you. He will promote you. He will anoint you. He will let your joy overflow. And you too, you will serve God. You will serve Him to the end. And in the kingdom of God, you will not be missing. He will receive your offering. He will bless it. And He will use it for good. And together in His kingdom we shall reign. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Now I want you to dance, I want you to rejoice, even as you drop your thanksgiving offering. And from now on, anytime I hear concerning you, it shall be good news. All right. Who got the biggest miracle of tonight? Shout the biggest hallelujah. Okay.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody here to praise the Lord? Is somebody here to give God a praise? God has done it for you. for you tonight.